So how do you keep abreast of what's happening in the world? Maybe you're in the habit of turning on the TV to watch the nightly news, or scanning the headlines in the daily paper. Or maybe you check your smartphone's continuous feed of information from the Daily Beast, or CNN, or the Los Angeles Times, or from Reddit.com, or Huffington Post, Slate, Fox News, or whatever your news source. You'd be pretty surprised, not to mention disappointed, if every time you scrolled down, or tuned in, or unfolded the paper, you'd be pretty surprised if every time the story was the same. But in a way, that's what happens whenever we come to a worship service on Easter. The story is unchanged. Jesus of Nazareth, the Savior sent from God, the one we know had died, is alive again. Now, we all know that we experience life on multiple levels simultaneously. For instance, you can be behind the wheel, transporting yourself from one place to another, and at the same time brokering a deal or chatting with your daughter strapped in the booster seat behind you, or maybe simply forming a to-do list in your mind as you drive. We experience life on multiple levels simultaneously. Three times a day you sit down to eat because on one level your body needs fuel, and on another level you want the experience of sharing food and drink with family and friends. Conversation. And right now, you're here in worship this morning. Why? On one level, because Easter declares God's message of hope and comfort for all who trust Jesus. On another level, you're here to be with family and friends. So on one level, Easter offers a never-changing message, but on another level, we can discover new insight every time we hear the story of Easter. So a 6-week season of Lent led up to this morning. And on the Sundays in Lent this year, in a series I called Listen Up, I guided this congregation in looking at lessons we can learn from the fact that Jesus was always up to something. What was he up to? That might be teaching, or praying, healing, traveling, eating, preaching, whatever. And through those 6 weeks, I suggested that we listen up to Scripture, and then that our response should be that we come up and store up and take up and light up and sit up, relying on God's strength that we can't provide for ourselves, responding to the world with Christ-like love and compassion. But in order for us to be able to come up and sit up and take up and light up and sit up today, I suggest that we first need to look up, which actually is the title of this morning's sermon, and not the mistaken title that I put in the bulletin today that you didn't even know about. But the title really is, Look Up. Look Up. So that's a lesson I'd like us to consider today from the perspective of the experience of the women going to the tomb centuries and centuries ago on what was the very first Easter morning. I mean, every year we hear about the women going to the tomb. Why were they going? They had to finish preparing the body for burial. But why were they going on the first day of the week? Jesus had died on Friday. Well, Jewish custom required that he be buried before the beginning of the Sabbath observance, which started at sundown on Friday. And it lasted until sundown on Saturday. So Jesus had been buried hastily on Friday before sunset. And once the Sabbath ended at sunset on Saturday, the women could have gone to the cemetery after dark But back then, as now, who wants to go to the cemetery after dark? And so instead, the women went at first light the next day, which would be Sunday. Now remember, they went to finish cleaning and anointing and wrapping the body of their dear friend. They didn't go to see if Jesus had been resurrected. Now, the women who went to the tomb faced a sad and weighty task, complicated by an obstacle, a literal obstacle, the stone closing off the tomb. Now, they could have been stopped in their tracks by their worry about how they might contend with that obstacle. In the Easter story, in all four Gospels, the stone sealing the tomb had already been moved from the tomb's entrance when the women arrived. But as we heard this morning, only Mark's gospel tells us that as the women made their way to the cemetery, they actually asked themselves, how are we going to move the stone sealing the tomb? Mark's is the only gospel where we hear that they actually thought about that. And as they're wondering about this, Mark says that they look up. They look up and discover that the obstacle they expected to find in their way has already been removed. Yes, when they looked up, they realized that God had already removed the obstacle that otherwise would have prevented them from moving forward. Now, friends, we can hear the expression, the stone was rolled away. We can hear that on two levels. On one level is the startling, unchanging, life-changing, hope-instilling news of the resurrection of Jesus. In raising Jesus from endless death to eternal life, God urges us to look up. For God has negated our reason for fearing our destiny when our years on earth are over. The great promise of Easter is for all who hear and believe. We have a life yet to come that removes the permanently paralyzing sting from the experience of death. Yes, we still grieve. But as Paul wrote in a letter to the Thessalonians, you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so through Jesus God will bring with him those who have died. So on one level, Easter speaks to our eternity. On another level, Easter speaks to our here and now. God doesn't make us wait until life's end to experience God's power to move aside obstacles which otherwise would keep us from achieving the fulfillment that God has in store for us. This week, today, right now, God urges us to look up and realize that God moves aside other obstacles too. I mean, after all, it's easy, isn't it, to focus only on the quagmire that we sometimes find ourselves stuck in. It's easy to moan, poor me, as we recite the list of ways that others seem to have intentionally inconvenienced us. It's easy to welcome self-pity as we think of what we don't have, what we can't do. It's easy to allow ourselves to sink into despair when political rancor ratchets up, or when perceived global threats escalate.
I mean, that's what it's like when we only look around at where we are. But this is the other level of the Easter story to consider this morning. For in addition to Easter's grand promise that death is not the final word in our journey with God, from the Easter story we also gain insight into how God blesses us to live these days now. For we who believe, for we who embrace the truth that the God of heaven and earth has dominion not only over all of life but over death, my friends, for we who put our trust in the risen Christ, life is looking up. Because we trust in the risen Christ, we choose not to obsess over pesky problems or complex challenges or depressing details or contentious chatter or boisterous babbling. We choose to look up to Jesus, who assured us that we belong to God, whether in life or in death. After all, God moved aside the stone that would have kept the women from accomplishing what they set out to do at the tomb. So God wants us to look up, to call on God to clear away the obstacles that would keep us from living life generously, selflessly, sincerely, and devoutly. Finally, here's a postscript to today's message. The story of the resurrection of Jesus is one of the few stories of Jesus that appears in all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Not everything appears in every Gospel. And even then, in Matthew and Luke and John, the women who went to the tomb then go and tell someone about what they found. But not in Mark's Gospel. As you heard Bill read, according to Mark, they said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. Of course, if you think about it, it would have to have said something to someone, otherwise we'd never have known about their journey to the tomb and what they experienced. And so from that, I hear the Easter story asking us to do two things. First, we are urged to believe. Believe that Jesus is the Son of the Almighty God. Believe that God raised Jesus from real death to real life. Believe that resurrection life awaits you and me too. The other thing that Easter asks of us is to tell others what we have seen and heard. That the risen Christ continues to show us how to live in ways that honor God's will. Now, before you start plotting how you are going to ambush someone with the good news of the gospel and lay it on them, hold on. You don't have to find some unsuspecting person, back them into a corner, get in their face, and announce with scary enthusiasm, "Let me tell you about the risen Christ." Actions may not speak louder than words, but your actions, your attitudes do have power. Your actions and your attitudes do have power. Jesus himself urged, "Let your light shine before others, so they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven." So unlike the women who went to the tomb, according to Mark, don't be afraid, don't hesitate to tell a neighbor or relative or classmate or co-worker. Don't hesitate to tell them why you don't allow life's obstacles to stop you in your tracks. Because Jesus the Son has conquered even death, things are looking up. Would you bow with me in prayer? Holy God, help us see past any obstacles along our life's way. May we look up and remember that we are yours in this life and in eternity. Because we place our trust in you through your Son, Jesus, who lived and died and lives forever. Amen.